Welcome to church this Sunday. Please come and find a seat. It's lovely to have you here joining us. For those who are joining us online, we have today involved in the service. Trevor will be giving the Bible teaching. As musicians, we have Sam, Rosemary and Junglan. I'm Fiona, I'll be leading the service. And Lynn will be reading the Bible for us this morning. It's a great privilege for us to be able to come and to worship the God who's given us life and given us everything. He is a God who is worthy of all praise. From the scriptures that we're going to hear later comes this verse, and I invite you to read it with me together. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is exalted. His splendour is above the earth and the heavens. We have been made for a glorious purpose, far bigger than anything we could imagine. We have been made to worship and love our King and God. So please stand as we praise and sing together, all creatures of our God. And before we do that, Trevor is going to come up and give us a very brief introduction.
Thanks, Fiona. Now, today, I'm just wondering how many of us, Fiona, how many of you and others, they might actually read the Bible at a park and pray? Who reads the Bible and pray at a park, maybe? Or at the beach, something like that, okay? Or you actually look at the sunrise and you go, wow, you know, that's just awesome. And you find yourselves overwhelmed with praise, as you mentioned earlier on, of worship and wanting to thank God for it. Or you look up into the night sky when you're in the country, not so much in the city life, and you see all the stars around and the heavenly hosts and are filled with praise. Well, today's Bible teaching, God teaches us from his word today, the reason why and why that is. And so that's what we're looking at today, and the reason for why he is worthy of all praise.
Thank you. Now it's time to stand.
And with us sing, Alleluia.
stay standing if you are able. As a church of God, we have come together to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, to encourage one another, to hold on to the hope he has given us, and to spur one another on to love and good deeds. The Christian faith is not about me. I am not at the centre. God is at the centre, then it's others, and I'm somewhere out on the periphery. So this time of actually joining together is very precious in ways you cannot see and ways we cannot always imagine. However, affirming our faith together is something that can encourage each other, and I invite you to do so now if this is indeed the God in whom you believe, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Please have a seat now. Kids spot.
Well, did you know? It comes to a time now we're doing a little memory verse, and so I'm going to need... it's not really the best day to actually do your washing, but I brought some of my washing along. It's inside, so I'm going to have to need some. I need a clothesline. So, Fiona and Rosemary, would you be my clothesline, please? Here we go. I think I need to put that in some other day. Would you like to string that out for us? Good. It has got an end in the side there.
Done.
Often in this church, we like to greet other people in church. So if you'd like to turn around and say welcome to some of the people here, that would be a lovely opportunity now. As Christians, the Word of God is very important to us. It is the Word of God that guides our life. It is the Word of God that we depend on. And before we hear from the Word of God that Lynn is going to read to us, I'd like to pray, and if you'd like to join me, that would be great. Gracious God, your Word is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. Today, when we hear your voice, deliver us from hardness of heart. Help us put away everything that keeps us from persevering in your way, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lynn. If you would like to turn in your devices or Bibles to Psalm 148, you might like to have it in your own hands. It will also be on the screen.
Good morning. I'm reading from Psalm 148. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers of earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, welcome to church this morning. It's good to see you, and welcome to those listening online as well. My name is Trevor Young. I'm the senior minister that's here. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for gathering us together this morning on this rainy day when everything within us may well have wanted us to stay in bed or stay home with a coffee and just worship from home. But you've caused us to gather this morning and to encourage one another and to listen to your word read and taught and sung and prayed that we might know you better, love you dearly, serve you faithfully, knowing that we are your people close to your heart. So thank you that you've gathered us to yourself today, and may what we do be pleasing in your sight. Help me now to teach your word correctly, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning we come to the close of our four little sermons through January on the Psalms. And again, let me just ask you again, these four Psalms, five in fact, close to the end of the Psalms, are called the Hallelujah Psalms. Why are they called the Hallelujah Psalms? Do you know? Again? Praise the Lord is at the very beginning of each of those Psalms, and praise the Lord is at the very end of those Psalms as well. They serve as a little microcosm of one's daily life in relationship with God and cover a number of topics. And today we're looking at Psalm 148, and we're thinking about the reason for why God has made us in such a way that we worship him and praise him and know that we are to thank him. And when we see things in creation that just marvel us and amaze us. So the psalm itself is, if you've got your Bibles open up in front of you or if you've got the handout in front of you, you'll notice that the psalm is 14 verses. And just again, simply, it's divided into two sections, verses 1 through to 6 and verses 7 through to 14. Verses 1 through to 6 start off by, it's a summons, a calling. The psalmist is writing a prayer, but he's also summoning his the people, his brothers and sisters, to worship the Lord, the celestial beings, the celestial world, right? The things in heaven. And then in verses 7 to 14, he's summoning the terrestrial world, the things down here. And verses 7 to 14 form very much the pattern of Genesis 1, which we'll see next week in our Bible series. It just follows that whole pattern of creation, moving through to God's crown of creation, mankind, to look after and enjoy his creation and to worship him. Well, the reasons why the celestial world are to praise the Lord are given there in verses 5 to 6, and the reasons for why the terrestrial world should, us included here, should praise the Lord are given in verses 13 to 14. So it's a very structured psalm. And again, it's a psalm that is written what we call post-exilic. It means that God's people, the Israelites, the Jews, have returned back to Jerusalem, back into the Promised Land area. No longer their land as it was before. And God has rescued them and restored them. And they're praising the Lord for his salvation to them as his people. And so when we read this psalm, we're thinking, wow, who is this Lord that they're praising? All things praising, all creation praising the Lord. Well, Jeremiah tells us, he who appoints the sun to shine by day, who decrees the moon and stars to shine by night, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar, the Lord Almighty is his name. Well, verses 1 to 6 is a summons to the celestial world. Let me read them to you. You can follow along. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights above. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, and your waters above the skies. Well, look there firstly. There's an order in it all as the psalmist unfolds his prayer. It starts off with the praising the Lord from the heavens, the furthest part where God is himself and the heavenly hosts. Praise him in the highest above. And so right from the very beginning, we're seeing how big God is, how awesome and grand is God, and he fills eternity and space. And there gathered with him are the heavenly hosts, the angels. Praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his heavenly hosts, the many, many angels. And moving then closer down to earth, or closer down in this pattern, down, praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens, the blue sky, and your waters above the skies. What do you think the waters above the skies are a reference to? The clouds, yeah, the clouds and the rains. And the reason why here in verses 5 and 6 that the psalmist gives is that let them praise the name of the Lord. Why? For at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Firstly, before we look at that, he created them. What does that mean? What is he saying to us? He's saying that the created things that God has made in the heavenly hosts and the heavenly realms are things that belong to God. He made them. I don't know if you make things. I make little things, little aeroplanes out of matches sometimes, and give them to family. I think the thing I was trying to think about that I've made that speaks something is a cross. I just decided one week to make a cross that sits on my desk, and I take it to services or to places where there may not be a cross out in the field. Sometimes I've used it as a place on a makeshift little table as a cross, a focus, but I've built it and it says something. It speaks of Jesus, of course, and the cross and his sacrifice. You make something, it belongs to you. And so what the psalmist is reminding us here is that the created things in the heavenly realms are made by God and belong to him. All right? It's not the other way around, that the created things own God. All right? You hear the pattern that's coming through all this? What we're learning about God from this psalm. The second thing is that he established it and determined them for a purpose. There, verse 6, the establishing them is putting them in their place and then giving them a purpose. Well, what's the purpose? Well, God tells us in his word, and we read it in Psalm 19, verses 1 to 4, and it's our memory verse. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. We hear that voice, don't we? And I may not necessarily be talking about an audible voice, but what we're actually knowing is that we know the one for whom we give thanks for what we see in the created order there. It's reminding us of God. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. He is the one who's placed these things that are here. He's declaring his glory, who he is, and what he's on about. Since the creation of the world, writes Paul to the church in Rome, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. In other words, what that means is that God has made us in such a way that we go to the one who helps us the best, and that's God himself. He's made us in such a way that when we are rejoicing, we want to praise someone. We want to praise something, we want to thank something. When things are going wrong, we want to pray. We want to ask, we want help, we want to call out for rescue. When things are hurt or we're angry, some of us swear using God's name. I often use that as a little illustration to sort of say, I didn't know you were a very religious person, didn't know you prayed, when they use God's name in vain. But God has made us in such a way to need him and to hear that voice and to declare that. And that's the Spirit of God working within us to speak to us and to tell us that God is the creator of the universe. God is the one who made this world and we belong to him. C.S. Lewis, in his book A Mind Awake, an anthology of C.S. Lewis, writes, I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. As a Christian man, he's able to see and know that God is behind the things that he sees in creation and to praise him. The second part of the psalm is a summons to the terrestrial world, to us. Reasons for their praise, verses 13 and 14. God, not creation, is praised there. God's splendor above his creation, and it's God who has saved his people, not his creation. Let's go back to the first. Let's go back and look at the things. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths. Lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding. You mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children. Praise the Lord. Firstly, the reason. Verse 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. What's the psalmist teaching us here? He's saying that there is no other than God to praise and thank for creation. His name alone is the one who is to be exalted and thanked, for whom praise is to go. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. God's splendor is above that. The psalmist is telling us God is bigger than creation. It's sad when people turn to things like astrology or the stars or to other things in creation to find their guidance and their worship. But the psalmist is telling us here, no, that's not on. God is over that. They cannot help. They are created things. They cannot do what God does. Put them aside. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. God's splendor is above his creation. And it's God who has saved his people, not his creation. And I think this is the climax of actually the psalm. Because look there at verse 14. The psalmist is recalling now back in the homeland again. Back there he's recalling. And he has raised up for his people a horn. Or in other words, strength, victory, rescuing, restoration. He's back home again. He's hopeful. He's mindful now. This is where it's a fresh start we have now. Again, to do things right by God and to wait for his Messiah to come. The praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. The psalmist is telling us God is the one whom is the one who saves his people and who has saved his people. Therefore, he is worthy of great praise, for he saves and he also has created the things around that point us to him as well, and his word guides us to know that to be true. He has raised up for us, his people, a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his hearts. Interesting little word, isn't it? Does anybody else know where that little word horn is mentioned in the Gospels? Most of us who are Anglicans, you may remember the song of Zechariah at the birth of John the Baptist. You remember Zechariah saying as he looked at his son John to be baptized, he was thinking about, firstly, the promise of God being fulfilled. He says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through the holy prophets of long ago, the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God." We look as Christians into this psalm of the Old Testament. The psalmist longed for the Messiah to come. We know who that horn is. We know who that one of salvation is, and that is Jesus. The heavens declare the glory of God, the majesty of him. "A man can no more diminish God's glory," writes C.S. Lewis, by refusing to worship him than a lunatic can put out the sun by scribbling the word darkness on the walls of his cell. Nothing can hide the glory of God. It's no wonder then that the Bible ends with these words in Revelation. And often we mention it at the beginning of our morning prayer in Anglican circles. "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. Why? For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being." Isn't it a wonderful, wonderful blessing that when we look upon God's creation and we're filled with awe and wonder and thankfulness, we know who to go to? And we know who to thank and who to enjoy it with. It's God, the Creator, your God, your Saviour, Jesus. A wonderful picture of heaven is, even though we may be spectators and partakers, oh, what fleetingly, in and out of, here on earth, one day we will be gathered around the heavenly throne room. And this is what the picture will be like. "Then I heard every creature in heaven and earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. He is worthy of all praise." I don't know if you know John Rutter, but it's one of my favorite songs. And hymns, and I thought I'd just let it play to you today, the beauty of the earth, and we can listen into it before we move into a time of prayer and song. But let's say the psalm together. "Praise the Lord, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights above, praise him all his angels, Praise him, all his heavenly hosts. Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise him, you highest heavens and you waters above the skies. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at his command they were created, and he established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, you princes and all rulers on earth, young men and women, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens, and he has raised up for his people a horn, the praise of all his faithful servants of Israel, the people close to his heart. Praise the Lord.
For the beauty of the skies, for the beauty of the sky.
Before we move on to the next part of the service, just take a moment now to reflect on what God has been saying to you through the psalm and through what we have heard. One of the less comfortable things that Jesus teaches us is our own curved inwardness, that we are so focused on ourselves that we don't give God all the glory, we don't always praise him, and we don't see how awful sin is. So it's a very important part of the Anglican liturgy that we confess our sins, knowing that the God who we confess to is willing to forgive. Please join with me in saying this confession together. Heavenly Father, we praise you for adopting us as your children and making us heirs of eternal life. In your mercy, you have washed us from our sins and made us clean in your sight. Yet we still fail to love you and serve you as we should. Forgive us our sins and renew us by your grace, that we may continue to grow as members of Christ, in whom alone is our salvation. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ was sacrificed once and for all to bear the sins of many. God therefore forgives those who look to his Son for mercy. Bearing in mind that we are a people who are close to God's heart, and that we have been exhorted to praise, I invite you now to stand as we sing about the one who alone is worthy to be praised, Jesus, the Lord of creation.
Jesus.
Thank you. Please sit or kneel for prayer. Jesus taught us a very, very precious prayer. And for any here, please join with me as we say this prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We're going to continue in prayer now. Heavenly Father, we gather together this morning knowing your greatest desire is that we should love you with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our minds, and with all our strength. Creation declares your glory and turns the eyes of all people to the Creator King. We pray that we will reflect your glory. Help us to remember you at all times. Cultivate in us by your Spirit thankfulness for your many blessings and a trust in your generous providence in meeting all our needs. Help us to love those who we come in contact with by choosing to serve rather than to be served, to be wounded rather than to wound, and by bearing patiently with the failings of others, extending to them the same kindness, mercy, and compassion that God in Christ has so graciously offered us. May we delight in all that you have created for our benefit and pleasure, and by caring well for all you have given us to steward. We offer open our hearts to you this morning in praise of your glorious name. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We give you thanks for your worldwide church, for the faithfulness of your people in every land, and the unity we share through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray for Christians in other countries, especially where there is suffering, war, persecution, and danger. We pray for those who have been sent out as your missionaries here and abroad, and we bring before you the work of the Bush Church Aid, particularly of the Pharisees in Kununurra, Western Australia, the Thomases serving in Thailand with InterServe, and the Blair family working with refugees here in Sydney with Pioneers. We pray for the work of the Anglican chaplains in hospitals, the Defence Forces, schools and prisons and the police force. We also pray for those who are now preparing to teach SRE in schools in the upcoming school year. We ask that you will equip all your faithful servants for the work they do, giving them patience and perseverance, creativity and resources, and the assurance of your presence. So strengthen your people for their witness and work in the world. Fill your ministers with your spirit, that they may faithfully preach the gospel and administer your holy sacraments. Unite in the truth all who confess your name, that we may live together in love and proclaim your glory in all the world. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, creator and preserver of our world, we pray that you would give wisdom to those in authority in every land and give to all peoples a desire for righteousness and peace, with the will to work together in trust, to seek the common good and to serve with justice the resources of this earth. We pray for our Australian government, that they might work together for the good of all people, that you protect them from the evil one, and that they experience your goodness in the hardship of public life. We pray for our leaders that they work as one so that decisions made will be for the good of all. Father, hear our prayer through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless and sustain the life and ministry of this church. We ask you to prosper the work of this church and to unite us all, that you will unite us all to do great things for your glory and honour. Help us, O Lord, to meet the financial obligations, to fulfil the vision that you have given to our leaders, and to be a force for positive change in our local area. We also ask that you continue to pour out your grace, your wisdom and blessing upon this congregation. And we especially ask for all those people who are unwell or finding life difficult at this time. Grant us patience for one another, bearing with one another in love, and enable us to meet each other's needs. Let us all pray for the gift of joy in our service to God and humanity as we finish our prayer time this morning. Will you join with me in the set prayer for today? Almighty and ever-living God, our source of power and inspiration, give us strength and joy in serving you as followers of Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Rosemary. Just a reminder again, as we come to the beginning of the year, that these are our Link missionaries that we're supporting for this year. And just a reminder that through the Thomases, as Rosemary's prayed for, the Blairs as well, and the Pharisees in Western Australia, each month we'll set aside a particular month to pray for them, and you'll be able to give something towards their ministry through the envelopes at the back of the, at the end of the pews. Also, again, we'll be having guest speakers coming out who will remind us of the work of Anglicare through hospital chaplaincy, prison chaplains, defence chaplains, police chaplains, school chaplains, and of course we'll be involved with Anglicare's Toys and Tucker at the end of the year. Moore College is the college of which we seek to find teachers of God's word, men to come to take the teaching of his word in parishes, and so we'll have a Moore College Sunday reminding in the beginning, in the middle of this year, and a guest from the college will be one of our speakers. Men, next Saturday is our breakfast, first for the year, so if you're not signed up, sign up at the back on the table at the back and take a little flyer to remind you, stick it on the fridge, that it's this Saturday from 8 to 9:30 a.m. and the cost is $5 for it. So, and Rosemary, you've got something with the women's ministry side of things as well too.
Ladies, you thought you were missing out? You were wrong. Okay, I've met together with a few ladies in the church and we've actually set a yearly program together. And so we thought we'd start off our year next month on the 11th of February from 2 to 4 p.m. in the foyer out here. It's a Saturday. And we're going to have a launch party. So come along for some fun food and fellowship. And we will be meeting together, enjoying each other's company. We have a few things planned, and we will let you know what's happening for the rest of the year. This is the first of our meetings together, so it'll be worthy of you coming along. So there is a sign-up sheet at the back. You don't need to bring anything, just your happy smiley faces, and be prepared to have a little bit of fun together.
And the men's on Saturday, Ben, all right? Just mindful of that as well too, okay? All right. You'll be hearing what's happening for the remainder of the year as well, with the exciting things that we've got in store for you as well too. Young men, old men as well, a lot. Next Sunday is the Lord's Supper together, and please ignore what I've written in the bulletin for this week. It's meant to be for February, not for January, for next Sunday. But next Sunday will be the Lord's Supper, and it'll be the way in which we are conducting it during COVID. Again, as you come in, you'll be given a little cup and a wafer and take that with you, and then bring it to the pews, and then we'll have communion during the service and you'll take of that. But from February, we're going to trial a mixture of those. How we're going to do that is in the bulletin and explained to you, and where some can stay in the pews or come to the table up here as well. It'll all be COVID safe as well. Thank you for giving towards our ministry in this place and beyond. Now is the time to be thinking about that as the year unfolds and budgeting accordingly. If you would like prayer after the service today, let me remind me, Fiona, who's on prayers for today for us? Sorry? Oh, Fiona and Dick. If you'd like prayer for you, Fiona and Dick will be happy to be up the front here and pray for you and with you. Please, as you stay for morning tea, continue the fellowship, grab your cuppa, come back into the church, spread around, because it's raining still outside. Bad day for washing. But you can come back inside or in the foyer area, but keeping that space is there. And thank you for those who have been on morning tea for us. Thanks, Fiona.
As we're coming close to the end of the service, we will be actually singing another psalm. The voice of the Lord is over the waters with power and strength and glorious thunder. And all his people cry glory. So please stand as we sing this beautiful hymn together.
Us cry, Lord.
Please have a seat. The scriptures remind us to praise the name of the Lord. How are you going to do that this week? How are you going to exhort yourself to continue to praise God, whose name alone is exalted? His splendour is above the earth and the heavens. Just have a moment reflecting on that question before we go out to serve. Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so serve God in a way that is pleasing to him, with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. Thank you for joining us today, and continue to enjoy fellowship over morning tea.